moment. If you would, grab your copy of God's Word and go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And as you're turning there, let me say it's been a privilege serving alongside our 22 active deacons this past year. They are a fine group of men. We appreciate also, of course, all of our reserve deacons. They're always ready and willing to jump in when needed. And I just want to say, maybe you're not used to that language, active and reserved. I strongly prefer that verbiage, active deacons, reserve deacons, kind of like our active duty and our reserve duty when it comes to our military, instead of administrative and non-administrative deacon. I think that active and reserve, it communicates more easily, more straightforwardly what their role is. And Lord willing, when we update our bylaws later this year, we'll make that official. But our 22 active deacons, they've served us so well in everything the congregation has asked them to do. But six of our active deacons, they're going to be rolling off active duty and onto our reserve duty list here at the end of August. I want to take just a moment to recognize them. And so, brothers, if you would, please stand when I call your name and remain standing. And, of course, we invite your wife to stand with you, just right where you are. Austin Buchanan, Wayne Buchanan, Denton Farr, Justin Harrell, David Huckabee, and Chris Roberts. Let's give them a round of applause and thank them. They have served y'all well for 3 years. And so you guys have earned a break. Thank you all. You can grab your seat there. Now, next Sunday, August 13, you will be given a list of reserve deacons who are willing to move back into active duty, and you have the opportunity to vote for those that you want to serve as active deacon at our regular quarterly members meeting on Sunday, August 20th, okay? I want to say so much again, Dr. Voss, and of course, Dan McClure, their leadership, John as chair, and Dan as vice chair. They've done an excellent job. In particular, they spent time with these two yokemen, taking them through training and mentoring them. I'm no doubt, having a laugh here and there, but making sure that they understand the seriousness of the role of deacon. And I want to say to Scott and to Stephen, man, I'm thrilled that a year ago your names were put forward by this congregation. These two men were nominated along with others as well, but nevertheless, it came from the congregation, and then I'm thankful our deacons, our active deacons, came together, and they said, we believe this year is the year to invite Scott and Stephen into our yokemen program, and I'm so thankful that you two guys said yes. And so after a year of training and testing and observation, we are filled with joy this morning to ordain you to the office of deacon. And I pray that over the course of your life in this office, here's my prayer for you, that you would make our joy complete. Brothers, would you? Would you make our joy complete? What does that mean? Well, look here with me in the text, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. God's word here says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection, sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind. That's Apostle Paul speaking here. Having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Well, thus ends the reading of God's word today. Let's pray and ask God to just give us insight today. Father, I want to pray over these two men in particular, Lord, but the entire congregation today, that we might come along and see what it means to be a servant. And Father, I pray that these two men would work to make your joy complete, but also our joy, Lord. We ask that you would be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Paul had birthed this church. He had given the Philippian Christians and he had given this Philippian church their start. He had evangelized them and planted that church on his second missionary journey around the year AD 50. And he had done it with great joy, like the joy of birthing a baby boy or a baby girl. And he's writing this letter to them about a decade later. And he was hoping and praying that they would make his joy complete. Sort of like a parent experiences when that newborn baby, when it grows up to be that fine young man or that fine young lady, graduates high school, perhaps graduates college, lands that solid starter job and maybe gets married and has kids and is a follower of Jesus Christ and a productive member of the community, right? That makes a parent's joy complete. We all know of situations where sons and daughters have taken a different path that did not bring joy to their parents' heart. It brought great sorrow to their parents' heart. Everybody longs for their joy to be made complete. It's also kind of like if you think about the gardener or the farmer who plants that seed in the ground, and there's always joy in putting that seed in the ground because you're dreaming about all of the good food that's going to be there at harvest time. And then there's joy when the plant shoots up and when the leaves come out and when it blooms. But that joy is made complete when the fruit is harvested and you bite into it, the deliciousness of that produce. And so Scott and Stephen, today as we ordain you with great joy, we are hoping and praying that you too will make our joy complete by showing yourselves to be exemplary deacons, God honoring, God fearing deacons, faithful deacons, servants of this church to your full capacity. And that key to living that kind of life, to having that kind of result, is found right here in our text. In fact, it's today's takeaway. And here it is. Today's takeaway is this: imitate Jesus so that you may become your fullest capacity as a servant of this church. Imitate Jesus so that you may become to your fullest capacity a servant of this church. Now, I want to say this to the whole congregation. This is not just for deacon candidates. It's for all Christians. So don't check out on me. Listen and apply this to your life, because here's the deal. One notable thing about deacons is that they're not actually called to anything notable that not every other Christian's called to. What a deacon is called to is what we're all called to. Yes, they're supposed to be the more complete package, so to speak. They're to be leaders, they're to be servants, they're to be examples, but nevertheless, they are called to the same things that every single one of us are called to. And so we are all to imitate Jesus. You and I are to live this life and to make our Savior's joy complete. And so these principles this morning, that they apply to all of us. But on this occasion, we will especially apply these to our two new deacons. And so, Scott and Stephen, if you'll imitate Jesus so that you may become to your fullest capacity a servant of this church, you will make our joy complete. But how will you do that? Well, first, let me point you to three things. First is just simply let Jesus be your example. Start with the example of Jesus Christ. I want to say this morning, I'm thankful that yes, Jesus is our Savior. Yes, Jesus is our Lord. But praise God, Jesus is also our example. Look at verses 5 through 8. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So brothers, this type of thinking and living that the Holy Spirit through Apostle Paul is calling us to is exactly the type of mind and exactly the type of life that Jesus Christ had. He didn't see being a servant as something beneath him. I mean, if it's beneath anybody, it's beneath him, right? But he did not see it as beneath him. He was God. He was and is God. He was equal with the Father in his divinity. Yet he didn't let that reality stop him from becoming a servant. No, the scripture says here that he emptied himself. In other words, all of the divine form and all of the divine privilege, he put aside and took on the form of a servant. Well, how did he do that? Well, the text tells us two ways. One way he did that is by taking on human flesh. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus added humanity to his divinity. He was God, but added humanity to his godness. The creator took on creation. The one who had no beginning in his divinity, he took on the beginning of a human in his flesh and was born just like you and I are. And even then, you all know the story. It was a lowly birth. Mary and Joseph gave birth to him in a cattle stall, laid him in a manger for a bed. He lowered himself, didn't he? And he grew just like you and me to become a man, and in doing so, he took the form of a servant and he served us. But he also took the form of a servant by becoming obedient, the Bible says here, to the Father, to the point of death. You see, he did what a good servant does, and that is obey. And his obedience called for an extreme outcome: die. And if there was ever a time to disobey your father, it would be when your father said, "You must die." But that was the father's plan. And Jesus was obedient even to that. And you think, okay, I could maybe die, but this wasn't an easy death, right? We all want to die, or we don't want to die, but if we're going to have to die, we want it to be an easy death, right? He wasn't going to die in his sleep. He wasn't just going to whoop and fall off a cliff. No, the Bible says that the form of death that he took on was one of the slowest, one of the most excruciating, one of the most humiliating, one of the most shameful ways to die. He died on a crucifix, a cross. And yet Jesus was obedient even in the face of that. And he served not only his father, but he also served us, dying the death we deserve so that we might be saved. So brothers, no aspect of servanthood should be beneath us, because no aspect of servanthood was beneath Jesus. If you're going to make our joy complete, then you've got to have that kind of mindset. And the good news is that God's not specifically calling you to die. Although, we could think of a couple of scenarios where you might have to put your life in danger between this flock and danger. But primarily, God is calling you to live for this congregation, to serve this congregation. And if you do that well, if you let Jesus be your example, you will make our joy complete. Second, if you're going to do that, you have to remove some natural barriers. Now, our text here points to these natural barriers, these two natural barriers: selfishness and conceit. Anybody here ever struggle in those two things, selfishness and conceit? Look at verse 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Now here's the deal. Jesus Christ, he didn't have to get rid of these barriers because he wasn't born a sinner like you and I are. Certainly he was tempted in these aspects like you and me, but these were not natural to him like they are natural to you and me. You see, because of our fallen nature, selfishness and conceit, they are natural to us. We don't have to be taught how to be selfish. We don't have to be taught how to be conceited. We have to work to overcome these two things. And so, brothers, I want to particularly challenge you to overcome these natural barriers. Here's the deal. Selfishness will ruin your deacon ministry and cause our joy to not be made complete, because here's what selfishness says: I will only do what benefits me. I will only do what benefits me. And as I say that, I mean, isn't that like the complete antithesis of a servant? A servant lives for the benefit of others, often at a personal cost. And so, brothers, if you find yourself as a deacon only doing what benefits you, your ministry will be a failure. Conceit, let's consider that for just a moment. Conceit will also ruin your deacon ministry and cause our joy to not be made complete, because here's what conceit says. I'm too good to do that. I will never do that. That's beneath me. And we've already stated, nothing was beneath Christ. He was willing to go to the nth degree to serve us well, and you should as well. Yeah, it means that you're going to have to deal with some messes. Some of these messes will be physical. You may get called to serve in the nursery. And brother, I'm telling you, I've seen some of them. Blowout city sometimes, right? But there are going to be physical messes. I still remember one Lord's Day at Eastwood. This lady came up to me to tell me that somebody had spilled something all over the toilet in the family restroom and asked if I could find somebody to clean it up. And so I go check this out. I don't know what Miss Carol's talking about. So I went and checked it out, and nobody had spilled anything. No, what had happened is that some little boy came in there and did what little boys often do and had made an absolute mess going number one all over that toilet. It was like that little boy had used the bathroom like little boys like to ride bicycles and raise their hands up and say, "Look, Mom, no hands." I mean, it's just everywhere. And so what did I do? I could have went to the office real quick and wrote up a sign that said, "Out of order." Put that on the door, because there were other restrooms. And the custodian was coming right after we got out of service. I mean, we could have just saved it for him. Or I could have ran and gotten Danny Atwood, who loved cleaning up messes, but he was busy serving in Sunday school. And my other option was I could just get some cleaning supplies and cleaned it. And y'all, that's exactly what I did. I probably was not wearing a suit that Sunday, because I wore suits there about as often as I wear them here. But nevertheless, before I preached, I cleaned the family bathroom that day. I didn't see this as being beneath the pastorate. And it's not beneath the pastorate. And it's not beneath the diaconate either. You see, I was not going to let conceit get in the way of doing what needed to be done. And so I cleaned it, and now it was ready for the next person to use. Should have put up a sign that said, "Please use hands." But y'all, there are also going to be some spiritual and emotional messes as well. Right? There's going to be that brother or that sister who's caught in sin, and you have to come lovingly alongside them, confront them, and walk with them. There's going to be that church member who's angry or disgruntled or gossiping. There's going to be that situation where you have to step up and do what nobody else will, because the deacons are the first people called upon to do what needs to be done. And so I pray that you will remove the natural barriers of selfishness and conceit. And in doing so, you'll imitate Jesus and become to your fullest capacity a servant of this church. Finally, the Bible tells us this: if you're going to do this well, then you have to, third, give yourself to some godly efforts. Oftentimes, guys, the Bible never says just don't do that. No, it says don't do that, and instead do this. So while you're getting rid of some natural barriers, you're replacing those things with godly efforts. We see a whole list here in verse 1 and 2. Look at it. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do you see the godly list there? I see at least five things listed: encouragement, love, participation, sympathizing, and unifying. So brothers, I want to pray over you, particularly Scott and Stephen, that you will give yourself to these things. Encourage this congregation. Love this congregation. Participate in this congregation. show sympathy to this congregation and unify this congregation. We've all at least heard stories of deacons who have done the opposite. Brothers, don't be that discouraging deacon. Don't be that hard-hearted deacon. Don't be that AWOL deacon. Don't be that calloused deacon. And don't be that disrupting deacon. Those that do that make no one's joy complete. In fact, they become a complete sorrow for the congregation that they're a part of. No, beloved, make our joy complete. And so encourage, love, participate, sympathize, unify. And in doing so, you will imitate Jesus and become to your fullest capacity a servant of this church. Now look, I don't know the details that your ministry is going to hold. I don't know how you can be a deacon on a ship or a submarine. I don't know how you can be a deacon in the woods when it's just you. But as you do what you do, and in the capacities and in the details that God gives you, I pray that there will be a quality to your ministry. We don't have to know the details, because that's going to come. The question is, what will the quality of your deacon ministry be when these things come? And so let Jesus be your example. Remove those natural barriers and give yourself to some godly efforts. And so as we move in just a moment to officially ordain you, I pray that you will make our, this congregation, make our joy this day complete by imitating Jesus to become to your fullest a servant of this church. Here's my final prayer. May this church look back on this day with complete joy, because you two men, along with your wives, have shown yourself to be excellent Christ-like servants.